of the expectation that's in a room when there's the prophetic, and sometimes there may be that place in us, I know it's been on me, when people are getting words and you really need one and you don't get one. And I just could feel the burden of the Lord this morning, and he just asked that I begin to pray for those that really need a word because they don't feel seen by God. Somehow, if they get picked out or they get chosen, or maybe somehow that would say to you that God sees you. And I just could hear the Holy Spirit saying, I see them, I see them. More than a word given, I see them. And he reminded me of just a really beautiful testimony. I think testimony is, the whole Word of God is the testimony. The testimony of Jesus is why we're all in this room. And I remember years ago, I was sitting on a plane headed someplace to do a woman's conference somewhere. And I was just sitting on the plane and talking to the Lord and journaling. And the Lord began to speak to me. And he said, there's a woman I want to minister to. And she's lost a baby girl. She's lost a daughter. He didn't tell me how she had lost the daughter. He just said, she's under a lot of wounds and a lot of shame and a lot of hurt. And I want to roll that shame off of her. And I want to give her new life. And I want to heal her heart. So when you find her, I want you to tell her that that's what I'm going to do. And so I just assumed that she was at that event I was going to. And I was in that event. And never again did I remember that word or writing that word down. It just seemed to vanish from my mind until 3 months later. I'm standing in a room in a workshop in a completely different city, in a completely different state. And all of a sudden, as ministry starts, the Lord shows me a picture of me writing down that word, and he says, she's here. Today is the day she's here. And so as we did altar ministry, I just said, I don't know if you're out there, but several months ago, I felt like the Lord impressed upon me that there was a woman he wanted to minister to, and you've lost a daughter. Somehow you've lost a daughter. And the Lord wants to roll shame, wants to roll sadness and mourning and hurt off of you today, and he wants to just heal you. And women began to come up for ministry, and I had a team with me that were all praying for people, and I kind of started praying for people, and I got to this one woman, and she leaned in and she whispered in my ear and she said, I'm that woman. I said, oh, that's great. She said, I'm married, I have two sons, but 12 years ago I was Catholic and my parents were ashamed that I'd gotten pregnant out of wedlock, and they made me give my baby girl up for adoption. She said, I never wanted to do it, but I did it. And she said, when I got saved a few years ago, the one thing I asked the Lord for was that he'd roll that sadness off my shoulders. She said, I've never really felt it. Until today when you said it, I thought, this is the day I get that sadness rolled off my shoulders of feeling the guilt of giving that girl up for adoption. So we prayed for her and literally just watched the Lord roll sadness right off her shoulders. And I continued down the line, and there was another woman that leaned in as I began to pray for her, and she said, I'm that woman. I said, oh. And she said, I aborted a baby years ago, and I just knew in my heart it was a little girl. And she said, when you said that word, she said, I opened my eyes kind of in shock because I felt this jolt in my body. And she said, I saw the Lord standing in front of me, and he had this baby girl in his arms. And he handed her to me, and he said, you forgot to name your daughter. And she said, automatically, out loud, I just said the word, the name that was always in my heart that I'd never spoken out loud. And she said, I felt shame and remorse just roll off my shoulders. She said, I'm married now with two sons, but I've been waiting for this day. And I just prayed for her, and we saw the Lord come in such a beautiful way and moved down the line. And another woman leaned in, and she said, I'm that woman. She said, I'm married and I have two sons. She said, but I lost her in my 6th month. And I haven't been able to get over it. She said, I need God to roll this off my back. So we prayed for her, and we saw the Lord heal her in that moment. And I was kind of stunned and just overwhelmed that 3 months before I had been sitting on a plane and God had those three women on his heart. And I just was consumed with, how big is this God who's so concerned for us that he has a timing and an exactness to everything that he does. And I was packing up my stuff and I was walking out and I got a tap on my shoulder, and it was this woman, and this new woman, and she said, I just waited for everybody to leave because my story is so intense, but I think I'm that woman. And I said, oh wow, okay, well, let's hear your story. And she said, well, I've had a lot of deliverance from my story. She said, I am married now, I have two sons. She said, but I had three girls. I was raised in a satanic cult, and the first one they took and murdered and sacrificed when she was born. She said, the second one I lost, and the third one disappeared, and I don't know what they ever did with her. She said, I've had a lot of deliverance, but I feel like there is this thing just still in my shoulders, and today I feel it rolled off. We prayed for her and watched the Lord just continue to deliver her. I don't know how you walked into this room tonight. I don't know if you stand there and you wait for a word because you think if one of these prophetic people sings over you, or if they speak over you tonight, that maybe that means that God has seen you. I'm telling you that the eyes of God search to and fro for hearts that are perfectly set. And it says, not because he's looking for perfect hearts. He's looking for hearts that are focused and set so that he might strengthen them. If you get a word tonight, great. If you don't get a word tonight, it doesn't mean that God doesn't know the day or the time or the hour that you are going to be noticed and seen. And he wants you to know right now tonight that you are in his eyesight, that you are in the palm of his hand, and that he sees you and he hears you and he knows you. And regardless if you get spoken over tonight, God is moving in this place and he wants you to feel his presence. So Holy Spirit, we ask for you just to come right now. We ask for you just to move in this place. We ask for you to just put your eyes upon this building, put your eyes upon every heart in this room, that you would begin to stir the hearts of men and women all over this room. God, we want your presence, and we're not going to be okay if we don't get it. We ask that you go before us, that you stand in front of us, that you stand beside us, that you go behind us, God, that you make a way for us tonight, that you break every chain that's been holding us back from our worship tonight, God, that you would come and that your glory would settle in this place. Jesus, we worship you. let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, or the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, or the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are
you are good.
There is new freedom when the kingdom is near. I lay down my whole faith to carry a new fire.
You are good, and your love.
worship you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. To fall again, come again, bring something new. Oh, I think we should cry out tonight. Breaks a heavy yoke. You got battles you're going through. You've got circumstances in your life. You got prodigals away from the Lord. I'm telling you, there's nothing that breaks a heavy yoke around you like worship, the spirit of worship. Come on, let's lift up our voices, church. Press through and find the Lord. If you have a lost loved one, begin to just cry out. Oh, the throne of God is near.
Father, we lift our hands and our heart toward you, Lord. Just like on that day, we declare you are good and your love endures forever. You are good and your love endures forever, Lord. And God, we thank you for that. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your grace. We thank you. You don't leave us like we are. God, I thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, let your goodness fall tonight, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Can we give Jesus a hand clap? Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Lifelong friend, that's a good way to say he's old. The great thing is Pastor Allen's getting old right alongside me, you know. Last night the video camera swung by and caught the back of my head, and I was like, who is that gray-haired man? That's me. All right, well, listen, this has been a great week. I'm so excited about what the Lord has put on my heart tonight. You know, Allen tells us, don't just bring a sermon, bring a word from the Lord. So I've just been listening all week, just trying to hear what the Lord wants to say tonight. And we've heard some incredible words, incredible messages. And, you know, the Lord's just been talking in so many ways, and so many of the prophetic words that have been like in themes about what God's getting ready to do in this church and what God's getting ready to do in this city. And I feel like he's getting you ready. And so what I want to talk to you tonight about is defining moments. I believe that God molds us through defining moments in our life. Every one of us have had defining moments. We've had good ones, we've had bad ones. We've had ones where the Lord really made us who we are today. Then we've got those where the enemy's tried to block us from who we're supposed to be. And I want to talk to you just a minute about defining moments. Just a few weeks ago, Sandy and I were working on a project at the church, and it was a remodel of a couple of rooms, and we were gathering some furniture, and we were right to the very last trying to get everything ready for Easter. It was pouring down rain, and we had to go pick up 4 chairs across town at a furniture store, which doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but it was raining. And so we took my pickup truck, and we headed across town and had to go down a 635, 70 mile an hour traffic in the rain. You get the picture. And we got over there and we loaded the chairs. Now the chairs, you know, sometimes these boxes, they kind of look like big L's. It looked like, if you've ever played Tetris, it looked like 4 big giant Tetris blocks that they put in the back of my truck, you know, 2 of them with the feet down, the other 2 on top of it, and they kind of fit in there like an L, you know, on top of an L, and they pushed them in, and they were heavy, and they were tight, and they closed the tailgate, and then the guy says, would you like for me to tie these down? And in my moment of weakness, I was like, nah, we'll be fine. And we head to dinner, and everything's good. And we get up on 635 heading back west toward our church. And it's raining and it's wet and it's messy and it's 5 lanes of traffic. And a car pulls up to Sandy's window and the guy starts pointing in the back of my truck. And immediately I thought, oh my God. We pull over and I run up and he said, you lost 2 boxes about a mile back. So we had to go up about a mile, make a U-turn, get back on this freeway, head back east, and we get down about a mile, and right on the edge of a bridge, of an overpass, there are 2 boxes on the far side of the road going the other direction. I'm 5 lanes of traffic and a muddy median from those 2 boxes, and Sandy's saying, listen, it's just not worth it, just forget about it, but oh no. You guys know what I'm talking about. So I got out. Last thing she said was just be careful. And I waited. I mean, it's raining, 70 miles an hour, 5 lanes of traffic, cars are going. And I'm thinking, how fast am I still? I had thoughts of Frogger. How many of you remember the game Frogger? And so I just began to pray. And I said, Lord, clear the traffic. Give me a break here. We've got to get these things out of the rain. Now, they were in boxes. They wrapped in plastic, okay? I thought we had a chance. Unless a semi hit one of the boxes, we had a chance. And there was a break in traffic, and I took off across. Of course, some idiot had to honk like, you know, like I didn't know what I was doing. I knew what I was doing. risking my life for two pieces of furniture. That's what I was doing. But I got over there and I pulled them out of the traffic and got them into the ditch and figured out the best thing to do was to drag them down. You know, it was a bridge, so I drug them down under the bridge and got down there where I was safe and got on the phone with Sandy, and she comes back around to get me about the time the policeman pulls up. And now we'll fast forward in the story. We won't talk about the police, but now he just came to check on me, make sure I was okay. So we finally get the boxes back into the truck. We get back to the church. We unload the boxes, and one of the chairs was fine. The other chair had a tear in it. And listen, I was a upholstery guy in high school. I know how to do this stuff, right? So I sewed the chair up. We got them in the room. Everything's fine. If I hadn't told the story, you'd never know. Now, here's my point. It was a defining moment. The enemy would have loved for me to have stepped out in traffic so he could have wiped me out and ended my life. But I learned some things that day about myself, and I realized that all these years, God just does things in our life that defines us. And I realized that day that this bad judgment of not tying down this chair does not mean that I always have bad judgment. Only about once a week. But not all the time. I refuse to be defined by bad judgment. But let me tell you some other things. I kind of got excited about some things I saw in me that are defining things that have been because of all the years of walking with the Lord. I learned this about myself. I have tenacity. I don't give up easily. That's a good thing. I learned that I'm willing to take calculated risk. Calculated risk. I learned I'm not afraid to roll up my sleeves and get dirty. I mean, I was a muddy, wet mess. I learned that I'm willing to go the extra mile. And I also learned that I see things through to completion. Those are good things. I wasn't always that way. But I learned that my life has been marked by defining moments, and so is yours. Let me ask you some questions. Who are you? What are you about? What are you gifted to do? What gives you energy? What lights you up? What's the Lord's ultimate plan for you? You see, if you stop right now in your life and you say, this is who I am and this is who I'll always be, you will stop short of who God's trying to make you. If He was through with you, you'd be dead. He's not through with you. Don't let the enemy stop you short. I remember one of the most profound prophetic words that Sandy and I received was several years ago when a guy looked at us and he looked at me and he said, you're a bulldog. And he looked at Sandy and said, you're a cheerleader. And then he started telling me what she was cheering. And little did I know, this was exactly what I needed her to cheer. She was cheering, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. And during some dark seasons of my life, it would have been easier to give up. But I kept hearing my cheerleader say, don't give up. Don't give up. And as a bulldog, I hung on to what I believed to be the promises of God. And I refused to let the enemy define me. I can remember some defining moments in my life. When I got married, that was a great defining moment. My life was forever going to be down a different road. I remember with every one of my children born, a new definition for our life. Not just I'm a daddy again. I'm telling you, every one of my kids were defining moments in my life. Every one of my grandkids, defining moments in my life. I remember when I got saved and called to the ministry. That was a defining moment in my life. But there have been Holy Spirit defining moments all through my life. I remember one when I saw my first blind man healed. Defining moment. I was going to a college that told me healing had passed away. I only had one problem with that. I saw a blind man get healed. Defining moment. I remember the first time I saw somebody get free from a demonic presence when they spoke and it was not their voice and that spirit left and they were free. I remember that was a defining moment. I walked away from that going, God, He has all power. It was a defining moment. I remember these defining moments. I remember the presence of God in worship. Just last year, I had a defining moment. I was on a golf course by myself up in Arkansas. I was just praying and playing golf. I was playing two balls. The first ball was mine. The second ball was the Lord's. Guess who won? The Lord won that day. But I was on this green, and I was just talking to the Lord right before I hit His ball. And His presence came. I was kind of playing, you know? But His presence came. And I couldn't hit the ball because I couldn't wipe the tears. And the presence of God came, and it was another defining moment. God wants to have some defining moments with you. He wants to meet with you tonight. He wants tonight for something to happen. Some of you had a defining moment during worship. Some of you, God still wants to meet with you and have a defining moment with you. Peter had defining moments. I'm going to read you one of them. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, and they were Simon, whose other name was Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And they were putting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for men." And at once they left their nets, and they followed him. Peter had a defining moment. But this was not the only defining moment. In Matthew 14, he walked on water, defining moment. In Matthew 17, on the Mountain of Transfiguration, he met with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. How many of you know that was a defining moment? I mean, God was preparing him for the future. I've had some defining moments from the enemy where if I would have let them set on me and define me, I would have stopped ministry. I would have stopped my life as I knew it, and I would have been labeled and defined the rest of my life by my failures. But Jesus doesn't want us defined by our failures. He wants us defined by His Spirit in our life. Another defining moment was the worst day Peter ever had when he denied Christ in John 18. But I love the fact he didn't stay there. Because right after that, in John 21, the Bible tells us that he was restored. And Jesus said to him, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." I thought it was interesting. Peter denied Christ three times. Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" I don't know where you've been, but I'm going to tell you something. Wherever you've been, God wants to redefine you right where you are. Shortly after that, in Acts 2, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people were saved. Defining moment. Don't let your failures define you. Maybe you've walked through a divorce. Maybe you've walked through a moral failure. Maybe you had a fight with your spouse this week. Maybe you had a fight with your spouse tonight. Don't let that be a defining moment. Guilt, condemnation, shame. They begin to try to define you. I remember even as a child when I found out that I was adopted, the enemy tried to use that as a defining moment in my life and say that I was rejected and my real father left and that meant that I was worthless. And the enemy tried to define me. And I struggled with that most of my life. Matter of fact, I struggled with that until after I got saved, God began to speak to me about being a son of God. And he had to redefine me. What is it that the enemy's trying to use in your life to define you? Write this scripture down. This is for somebody, I don't know who, but I want you to write it down and read it later. Isaiah 62:4 says, "No longer will you be called deserted. No longer will you be called desolate, but you will be called the city of God's delight and His bride." Read that later. That's for somebody tonight. God wants to redefine you. You see, failure will try to define you, but the blood of Jesus will redefine you. Some of you have walked through some difficult times, and tonight shame screams louder than forgiveness. And shame's trying to define you. Failure's trying to define you. The enemy said you're a liar. You lied, therefore you're a liar. Therefore, that's who you are. That's not. God wants to redefine you. Some of you are downcast. You feel like you're forgotten. But I love what 1 John 1:7 says. It says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, purifies us from all sin." I've always looked at the last part of that verse, and that verse has always meant something to me as I needed to be purified from sin. But the Holy Spirit this week highlighted that first part, and I'm going to read it again. It says, "But if we walk in the light," He didn't say stand in the light. Are you listening to me? Some of you need to walk on. You need to say, "Okay, that happened, but I'm still alive." You see, if you've got a big assignment on your life, you probably have a big war. If you've got a big calling on your life, you probably have some pretty big demons. And the enemy wants to stop you in your tracks. He wants to define you, and he wants to make sure that you never finish the race. But the Bible says here, as we walk in the light, as we walk, not stand in the light, not stop in the light, not forget about the light, but he says walk in the light, and then he says, and have fellowship one with another. God will redefine you. Jesus will redefine you when you walk in light and when you have fellowship, relationship. I firmly believe this. You can't get free by yourself. The Bible says confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. You can't. I believe small groups are so important in your healing process. Some of you are stuck and you're defined by the wrong thing. And the Lord wants to get you in the light, get you in truth, get you forgiven, get you freed. He wants the blood of Jesus to cleanse you, but He wants you to walk on toward your destiny. Are you listening to me? And He wants you to do it by relationship with Him and relationship with others. So our lives are marked by defining moments. Don't let the failures define you. The last thought's this. Let the Father redefine you. I want to tell you who you are. So I want you to remember tonight what the Lord's done for you. I want you to also believe that the best is yet to come. I think about that a lot in my life. When I look back at what the Lord has done, I just say, wow. Wow. When I think about where He got me and the condition I was in, when I think about the failures of my past, and there were times in my life you wouldn't have even recognized me as a son of God. I had so much dirt on me. But when I think about where the Lord's brought me from and what He's done in me and what He's let us do and where we are today and all those things, I just marvel. What about you? Remember what the Lord's done, but believe the best is yet to come. So who are you? Who does He say you are? I just want to read this over you. Scripture says you've been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:20. The Bible says that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says you're born again of an incorruptible seed. You've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the Son He loves. That's who defines you. He says, you're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, Ephesians 1. You're chosen before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. You're adopted and called His own, Ephesians 1:5. You see, we must agree with what He says. You don't ignore what's happened. You apply the blood. And you walk on. And you get in relationship. And you let Him redefine you. I want you to stand up for just a moment. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. Some of you are killing yourself because you're letting the sin that's happened and the failures of your past define you, and you just rehearse them and you talk about that. But I believe that our tongue is like a rudder, and what we say is where we go. If you continue to say, I'm a loser, I cannot, I'll never be healed, I'll never be free, then that's exactly the direction your ship is headed. But I want you to change your confession tonight. Not that you're going to say positive things and get better. No. You're going to begin to speak the Word of God over your life. So I want you to say this with me. Matter of fact, I want us to put it up on the screen. Do we have it? Let's just say it out loud together. I've been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am born again of incorruptible seed. I have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the Son He loves. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I am chosen before the foundations of the world. I am adopted and called His own. And one more. I am redefined by my Father. I am who He says I am. Would you give Him praise? You may be seated.
I just felt during one of the songs that Rita was playing, and there, Lord, let your glory fall. I just felt that there was some folks here that tonight was the night for you to get your heart right with the Lord. I felt there's an anointing for salvation. There's an anointing for prodigals to come home. And all I want to do, I don't want to drag this out and manipulate you in any way. I just want to give you an opportunity. If you're here tonight and you would like to give your heart to the Lord completely tonight, and when you walk out of here tonight, know that you're right with God. In just a second, I'm just going to ask you to stand up wherever you are. When everyone stands that wants to, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. We're all going to pray that prayer. This could be the defining moment of your life. Best decision I ever made. was to walk down this aisle in the Baptist church. I was the only one. And I gave my heart to Jesus. It changed my whole life. And I just feel like there's an anointing right now in this moment. So if you're here, I'd like to ask you to do something very courageous. I'd just like to ask you to stand up wherever you are and let me pray with you. Amen. 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 Anyone else? This is your moment. If you want it, this is your moment. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Anyone else over in this area? Anyone else? All right, I'm going to just ask you to pray out loud with me. And I'm going to ask all of us to pray this. Maybe some that just couldn't bring themselves to stand. It doesn't matter. Those of you that did stand, put your hand on your heart and just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I receive this defining moment. I ask you tonight to forgive me of my sin. I believe that you died for me and that you rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior and be my Lord. And I will serve you all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. As Pastor Wayne was praying that prayer, I thought about something our pastor says a lot. He says, maybe you're coming to God for the first time, or maybe you're coming back to God. And I want to say to the rest of us in the room right now, maybe there have been some things in your life that have defined you wrongly. And tonight you need the Father to redefine you. In many ways, you're coming back to God. Or in many ways, you're saying, you know what? I'm still breathing. I'm still alive, and I'm ready for the next chapter of my life. And you need the Lord to just cleanse you and clean you up a little bit. We all get in the mud from time to time. Some of us get buried and never make it out alive. You did, and you're here. And you'd say, I need my life redefined. I'm ready for the next chapter of my life, but I need the Lord to redefine me. You know, there's something in football called halftime. So to some of us, that's just frustrating. We're ready for the game to get over. But for the band, it's a big deal. Maybe it's halftime. God said, I want to clean you up, get you ready for the second half. If that's you, I want you to stand. I want to pray over you. Ready for the second half? Ready to be redefined? Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to steal something from Pastor Wayne. Put your hand over your heart. Won't you pray this? Father, thank you that sin cannot define me. But by your blood, I am clean. And I receive forgiveness and a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit for this next chapter of my life. Redefine me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for this.